Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson, Nick Costos. It's the off season. Nick, are you glad that football's like? Do you enjoy the time away from football? I sort of do.
Not only do I enjoy the time away from football, like I would make love to the time away from football, time away from football were a person. And I think that it's almost like I would be polysexual in that case. It wouldn't even make a difference to me because the time away from football, I treasure. And you treasure it too, buddy, because you know when football season gets here, it's a grind. We're working 7 days a week. It's pedal to the metal. It's nonstop. But with that being said, it's also the best time of the year. So it's a little bittersweet as well. So am I going to enjoy the summer, the final 3 months that we have here before the start of the season? Yes. But once football season draws near, training camps start, the preseason kicks off, I'm going to be super jacked and ready to go for week one.
Yeah, I feel like if we didn't have this stretch, this break, you would kind of go insane. Like if you went like football season year round, it would be horrible.
You'd be burnt out 5 months in.
Yeah, and people would just quit. It would be brutal. Having said that, we do have some gambling options here.
Solid segue, buddy. That was pretty good. It is the off season.
Yeah, it is the off season, but I love May because it means the over-unders are released. This year, I do mine every year. You know, last year in the AFC, I went 10-5-1.
Did you really?
That's pretty good, right?
8-7. You had the Chargers winning the Super Bowl, and they won like four games, so that was one of your losses, right?
I took the Chargers over. That was a loss. But in May, I predicted both the AFC and the NFC went 10-5-1 in the AFC, 8-7-1 in the NFC. That's not bad. That's a pretty good year.
No, not bad. I would actually say that's pretty good. You went above 500 in both conferences. Not bad at all, sir.
That's right. Hit the Raiders and Patriots over as my best bets in the AFC. NFC under, missed on the Bears and the Cardinals over. Those were eggs. That's okay. This year, I broke it down by division, and we're going to break it down. We're going to do the NFC on this podcast, along with we're going to talk to Dalvin Cook, the Minnesota Vikings running back, taken in the second round of the NFL draft. We'll have him on at the end of the show. He's doing a thing with Panini but not the sandwiches, the cards.
Oh, well, I love them. I love that too.
He's just doing a thing with generic paninis. Like it's just
I love paninis of all shapes, sizes, and forms. I
do too. There's this place called Village Deli here that has a panini. There's the turkey brie avocado panini. It's turkey.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's turkey brie avocado, as you might guess. Bacon.
How good is brie?
It's incredible. You throw in the sandwich.
It's so good.
Bacon and a little chipotle mayo.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And the best thing about brie is that it's so obnoxious, to eat brie, that like I feel so bougie and like such an upper class citizen when I eat brie cheese. And it is just creamy and tasty and delectable and delicious.
And you can't really fully melt it, but it's like just it's so good. This podcast brought to you by Brie Paninis. So anyway, let's dive into these. We're gonna do the same order I did them. We're going to start with the NFC East. You may have heard of the Dallas Cowboys. They're pretty good.
What team are they? America's team?
I did a terrible job linking on these. Hold on. Let me get the NFC up. You know what? Maybe we'll start with NFC. Here we go. NFC East. Okay. So
riveting podcast stuff.
Well, it turns out I linked it wrong. Usually I do it as one big division. So we'll start with the Cowboys. We're going to run through these. Cowboys, the over-under on the Dallas Cowboys right now in the middle of late May before Memorial Day, 9.5 wins. What say you initially? Over is -145, under +115. For those that don't know, the juice means -145. You have to bet $145 to win 100 of the...
I do agree, Will, with a lot of people, right? A lot of people have been saying that the Cowboys are due to regress this year. And really, how could they not after going 13-3 last season? Obviously, the sensational rookie campaign for both Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. But I think the demise of the Cowboys is being put out there way too much at this point, way exaggerated. They're not going to win 13 games, but this is easily, I think, at least a 10-win football team. I think a lot of it could rest on Taco Charlton, the first-round pass rusher out of Michigan, right? If he can get at the quarterback, and I think that he can here, then I think that Dallas has got a shot to win 11 games, maybe 12 games. They're not going to win 13, but I put them in the 10-12 range here. I like the Cowboys to go over the 9.5.
I think that if you take the Cowboys under, and that's what I did here, and I don't love it because especially with that price, like if you're just picking the over or under and you don't actually have to pay the juice, You should probably lean over because that's how Vegas leans. That being said, three of their games in December are on the road. They play the Raiders, Giants, and Eagles. They have – it's a pretty good schedule. I just worry that there's going to be a little bit of regression from the offense.
There has to be.
Right?
I mean, regression in what way, though, right? Well, because in theory, run game should be just as good as it was last year, right?
Well, two ways you could have regression. One, you could have for starters, you could have Dak Prescott not be as good, and I think that's entirely plausible. And secondly, you could also have a situation where the offensive line isn't as good as people expect it to be, or maybe somebody gets banged up and doesn't play great.
That's a different story, but you can't account for injury like when you make a prediction.
Right, but nobody got hurt for them last year, right? I mean, you could account for it a little bit. You could say like, hey, maybe they'll be a little less lucky this year when it comes to injuries.
I mean, look, is it possible that Zach Martin goes down or Tyron Smith goes down? Certainly it is. But right, I mean,
you don't want to predict that,
this under the assumption that guys stay healthy. And if that offensive line stays healthy, this offense is going to be pretty good. And I think Rod Marinelli has shown a couple of times over the last couple of years here that what a wizard he can be working with a bunch of no-name players here. So I definitely like the Cowboys over this 9.5 here. And the one thing that I don't like, and I sort of set the stage for this so I don't have to repeat it a million times over the course of NFC and AFC, I don't love... Like what, and a lot of people do this, so this is not a criticism just of you, and I've been guilty of this as well, being like their late season schedule is tough. It's so hard to predict what teams are going to look like in December, in November, injuries, trades, who the hell knows what's going to happen, right? So I don't know if it's necessarily be like, oh, like they have a brutal final 3 weeks of the schedule. I mean, you can say that now in May. You could even say that in October.
Right.
But December first round, it could be completely different. So who knows?
In September last year, you'd have been like, well, they got the Vikings late. They are screwed. It's like, actually, the Vikings are a pretty good matchup late in this year. No.
I agree completely. That's a crappy Thursday night game.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's one of those things, though. Three road games in December, regardless of who you're playing.
That is true.
That's a lot of time away. And then the other game in December is a home game against the Seahawks, who we anticipate will at least be difficult. So I think
9-7 for the Cowboys, in your opinion?
That's where I'm going. I think they're a wild card team. Yeah.
Four wins down from last year.
I don't even like it. But I was already dead set on it. I should have flipped my opinion there. Here's the problem. And we'll get to the problem in a second. I got another team I want to pick to win this division.
All right.
And I'm sort of using that faulty logic on the Cowboys. I bet I flip the Cowboys to the over when I redo these in August. But these are the ones I usually grade myself on.
So these will be in pencil.
No, I grade myself on these. I mean, when they first come out, I grade myself on these. But they asked me to do them again in August. And then that's when I make my actual bets, and they end up stinking, right? Like I should stick with the May bets. I'd be great. New York Giants, your New York Giants, under 9 wins.
You know,
only a half game less than the Cowboys. How confident do you feel about that? The answer is not very.
Not very. We did the draft show together, bud. Love doing the CBS Sports live draft special here. I did not like the Evan Engram pick, and I don't really like the offseason as a whole. Now, I like some of the individual moves that were made. Brandon Marshall. I really like that. I don't necessarily love losing Jonathan Hankins, but you look at what the Colts paid him, and I don't think that was financially permissible. The one thing that I will bang on Jerry Reese for, the GM, where was the help on the offensive line? Right. Like, are you really going to roll the same group out there next year? And look, in theory, everybody says, oh, well, look at all the weapons that they've got on offense now with Evan Engram and Brandon Marshall. Of course, Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard. But Eli Manning's not going to be able to throw if he's on his back. I am very concerned about that. I like Paul Perkins, but I don't love Wayne Gallman, the rookie that they took. Like, who's going to be the compliment? Who's going to be the bruiser in this backfield? So I still think this team's going to have some issues on offense. If they can't run the ball and they can't protect Eli, I think this is going to be a push at 9 wins here. I mean, the Giants could go over and get 10, but right now I'm a little pessimistic here about this team. I'm going to keep it right flat at 9 wins. I think the Cowboys are the favorite to win this division.
I think that is an accurate statement. I got the under here. I think the Giants, you look at it, schedule, you can say whatever their defense should be good, right? I mean, there's no reason for that defense not to be good. Sometimes defense regresses on you. I'm with you.
It has to regress. It's not going to be like, right. it was spectacular last year.
It went from number, it, they went from, They went from number 30, according to Football Outsiders, to number 2 in the league. I mean, that's a huge jump,
yeah.
And they weren't necessarily consistent week to week. I think the offensive, if you could have drafted or acquired a left tackle, and I realize that the options weren't great. Like, you had to pay Matt Khalil a lot of money or pay Mike Rimmers a lot of money.
Riley Reiff.
Yeah, but like, if you could have gotten Ereck Flowers on the right side of that offensive line, then I like your offensive line.
Yeah, listen, we're beating the same drum here, bud. Like, I completely agree with you. And one of the other arguments that we had on our draft show, and I don't think that you were part of this particular one, and everyone kind of disagreed with me, and I was sort of shocked by it. And I'm the biggest Eli Manning apologist fan of all time. I'm a lifelong Giants fan.
Yeah,
he's my favorite athlete of all time because he won my team 2 Super Bowls. Eli Manning was not good last year.
No, like, he was
regardless
bad.
Of the fact, yes, regardless of the fact that the offensive line wasn't good, to the point that when he came out firing darts in the wild card game in Lambeau, everyone's like, wow, Eli's dialed in, as if to be like, he hasn't been dialed in, and now he's finally dialed in. And then his play tailed off. Obviously, Beckham dropped a couple passes, which didn't help. But Eli was not good last year. And he's a year older now. And the offensive line isn't good. And I don't know that you can count on this run game. So I have major concerns right now about this New York Giants offense being able to control the clock and protect the quarterback. And I've got questions about the quarterback's ability to still get things done at the once high level that he used to produce at.
Eli Manning is 36, and this is the last thing I'll say, and we can move on, but everyone assumes that he's just going to age the way Peyton did. Well, Peyton fell off a cliff. What if Eli's cliff is a little bit earlier? I mean, that's not.
I think he showed you it already. Like, I really, like, right. I thought Eli Manning, by his own standards, was bad last season. Maybe not if you compare him to, like, Brock Osweiler, but, like, by Eli Manning standards, he was not great. That's why I think you saw the Giants invest in the quarterbacks this offseason. Geno Smith, signing him. Drafting Davis Webb out of Cal. Please do not misconstrue what I'm saying. Davis Webb and Geno Smith are not starting for the Giants this year. And, you know, and I think that the plan, obviously, is for them to not start for the Giants next year either. But I think that shows you that they are now, Jerry Reese and company Ben McAdoo, are starting to actively prepare for life after Eli. And Eli gave you reason to do that last year because his play was not up to its usual standard.
Absolutely. Worth noting that this division, the NFC East, in 2017, I'm trying to make sure I get this right, but yes, this is correct. They play, so the Cowboys, I think they play, yeah, they play the AFC West and the NFC West.
Very good division. And the NFC West, and we'll get into this when we do the over-under there, I think will be an improved division from what it was a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also have, you know, like, yeah, right. Anyway.
And the AFC West has 4 legitimate playoff contenders.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And the NFC West, not a pushover when you have the Rams and the Rams are going to be better. Anyway, we'll get to that. But yeah, you're right. So Eagles, over-under 8.5. I was stunned it was this high. I wanted it to be 7, and I wanted to hammer the over. I still like the over. I think that what they did with Carson Wentz by putting weapons around him, not necessarily like as much name value, but you got Alshon Jeffrey on a cheap deal. You got Torrey Smith, no guaranteed money. He's a burner down the field. They added Mac Hollins in the draft, who's a better player than people think, stretches the field. Donnell Pumphrey. Then you go out and pick up like Garrett Blunt. Wentz was great when Lane Johnson played. I think this defense is going to be sneaky special for the Eagles. Cornerback.
Why do you think that?
Because the defensive line is loaded.
The defensive line is pretty good, but I think the back end's going to be problematic once again.
Yeah, but I think you can cover that up a little bit if your defensive line is really good. I agree. The back is not great. But I just like this Eagles team. Maybe I'm crazy. I think the Eagles go over, and I think they win this division.
You think the Eagles are going to win the NFC East?
I do.
Wow, we're going to have to make a side bet on this one, buddy, because you couldn't be more wrong. The Eagles are the worst team in this division.
Wow.
I wonder. And I'm going to tell you why. I believe in Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is going to be a damn good NFL player. You know who I don't think is particularly good at his job? The head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Dougie Peterson. Doug Peterson, I think, will, by the end of this year, have Eagles fans pining for the days of Andy Reid clock management and play calling at the end of games. Doug Peterson butchered end-of-game situations last year in division games, whether it was against the Cowboys, against the New York Giants. I think that Doug Peterson's going to hold this team back, and he himself will cost this team 1 or 2 victories in a 16-game season. That's often the difference between playoffs and no playoffs, and more importantly, over or under. I think Philly goes 7-9, 8-8 at best. Give me the under for the Eagles. They will come in last place in this division.
I really like their over until I looked at the schedule. And again, caveats there, but three of their first four games are on the road. The game at home is against the Giants. They open up at Redskins, at Chiefs, versus Giants, at Chargers, versus Cardinals, at Panthers, versus Redskins.
0-8.
And then on October 29th, they get the 49ers at home.
Yeah, it's 1-8. Nice.
I mean, that's brutal, man.
They will beat Niners. Fly, Eagles, fly.
That's a tough schedule to open up. I feel like they have four home games.
They're the only team in the NFL that plays 12 road games, only four at home.
Well, and then in December, December 3rd at Seahawks, December 10th at Rams, December 17th at Giants, December 25th home against Raiders, December 31st home against Cowboys.
It's not an easy schedule, and I don't like to play the schedule game, but that does not sound like it's going to be easy for Philly. And again, I believe in Carson Wentz. I know I'm going to get tweets from people, you're hating on Carson Wentz and the Eagles. I love Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is going to be great. I think the head coach is not very good.
All right. Well, Washington Redskins over under 7.5 wins.
I'm going to go over here slightly. I think the Redskins will win 8 games this year. I don't have much to add on Washington because I think that they're going to be a pretty similar team to what they were last year. Now, if Jonathan Allen looks like he did at Alabama, maybe you bump this up a little bit here. I think the Redskins are ultimately the third best team in this division, behind the Giants and behind the Dallas Cowboys. I think they go over, but just slightly here. I think the Redskins are a 500 team.
There's a decent chance with the AFC West and the NFC West that we see, RJ White pointed this out, but there's a chance we see 3 unders in this division. It wouldn't be stunning. I mean, because the numbers are high and they play tough schedules. I've got the over here as well. I think they lose DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Those are big names. But you get Terrell Pryor on a value deal. Jamison Crowder is a very good player. Jordan Reed is a stud. Josh Doctson is a former first round pick that just is kind of getting kicked aside because he didn't.
And I like Josh Doctson.
I do too. I liked him a lot coming out of college.
Yeah. Yep.
Ryan Anderson and Jonathan Allen should help that defense right away. I like the Redskins to go over as well. Let's go to the NFC North. Green Bay Packers.
Second one after the East.
Is it always?
And spoiler alert, this will be the order. NFC East, NFC North, NFC South, NFC West. There, it's been spoiled for you.
Is that how that always happens?
Of course that's how it happens. That's how it's laid out. It's always East, then North, then South, then West.
Oh, all right, cool. That works for me. That's not really in any particular, for sure, whatever, cool.
You've never seen that? Like when you check out, go to the CBS Sports Standings page, that's always the layout.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's in your entire life. That's how it's been.
Well, I mean, I did this. I did this order. I mean, like, I'm just looking to see what order I did it in. So I guess obviously I agree. Over under, over under 10 wins. Green Bay Packers. Let's just be honest here. We're going over here.
Of course, we're going over. Right. And why? Because they have Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Next.
That's right. Minnesota Vikings 8.5 over under. The over is even, and the under is -130. I love this over. The addition of Dalvin Cook, who we're going to talk to in just a little bit. Sam Bradford, another year in there. They grabbed Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers in free agency. I know that's not they're not world beaters, but they're better than what they had before.
Yes, this is not Gene Upshaw and Art Shell that they signed.
Right. And I think that defense is going to be very good again. I like the over here.
Oh, man. This one's really tough. Really tough. I think the Packers are clearly the class of the division yet again. Maybe, did we gloss over Green Bay a little too quickly here? Do they have any sneaky chance of potentially going under 10 wins?
Yeah. No. Maybe. Oh, well.
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers plays 16 games, they're going to win at least 10 games. So you'll push it worst, I think.
I looked at it. If they hold serve at home and win one game on the road before their week 8 bye, they'll be 5-1.
Yeah, and they'll be well on their way.
Yeah, let's say we don't need to spend.
So here's my question.
You're not taking the under on the Packers, okay?
No. It's over or nothing. Yeah. Here's my question to you on Minnesota. Because I saw earlier this week Teddy Bridgewater back at OTAs running around, chucking the old pigskin. Any chance Teddy Bridgewater starts this year a couple games for the Vikings, or is this Sam Bradford's team in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's Sam Bradford's team unless Sam gets hurt. And then Teddy could come in.
As we know, is possible.
Sure,
right?
Totally possible. I think they would love to redshirt Teddy Bridgewater one more season. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. So if they don't play him, you could probably sign him on a pretty cheap deal. I just think that they he's still got a long way to go. You know, he wasn't even. It was cool that he's back, but I don't think he'll be ready to play unless he absolutely has to. So I say Bradford plays 16.
I'm reticent to sort of put an entire season on the shoulders of a rookie, but I think this dovetails nicely with the interview you conducted with the neophyte out of Florida State, the running back Dalvin Cook. If Dalvin Cook is very explosive and he looks like he did at Florida State, the Vikings will go over this win total. I really do believe that because they don't have a lot of sizzle on that offense. But as of right now, the fact that Vegas is leaning more towards the under has yours truly wanted to take the under. So I will begrudgingly go under the 8.5, but I will admit that that is a tough decision to come to.
And you know what's interesting? Again, schedule. This is actually an interesting scheduling point for the Vikings. Because the Super Bowl is in Minnesota, they have a ton of backloaded road games. So from November 23rd, they're at the Lions on Thanksgiving, right? They have 6 games remaining. Only 2 of those are at home.
Wow.
So, I mean, Thanksgiving on, they're at home twice against the Bengals on December 17th and the Bears on New Year's Eve. One of those games at Lambeau, one at, you know, at the Lions, at the Falcons, at the Panthers, Bengals at home, at the Packers versus the Bears. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I'll go under the total here.
All right, Detroit Lions, 8 wins. Perfect, of course. And the juice is perfect. Over -115, under -115. Vegas is terrified of the Lions because they were so fraudulent last year in terms of getting lucky. No one knows what to believe. They had a nice little offseason, I guess. They upgraded their offensive line, but I don't really buy into their weapons. They have Jim Bob Cooter, so I don't want to bet against him. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm going to go over here. Okay. I like the improvements to the offensive line. I love Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford is going to end up being like the richest. Like, we're going to stop talking about Warren Buffett at some point, and Matthew Stafford's going to be the person that we talk about. Like, move over Bill Gates. Matthew Stafford's soon going to be the richest player in the world. He's going to have to cash in on another big money extension, and the guy's going to have another big season. I just have a lot of belief in his talent. I think the one thing that worries you, if you're a Lions fan, if Amir Abdullah goes down again, they really didn't address that running back position. And we saw what happened last year when Abdullah did go down. You don't want a situation. I think Zach Zenner is a nice role player. You don't want Zach Zenner carrying the ball for you 25 times a game. So that's a little worrisome, but I love the Jared Davis pick in the first round for the Lions. I think he's going to be an absolute stud middle linebacker right off the jump in week number one. I think the Lions are going to win 9 games. I think this is the second best team in the NFC North. I'll take the over.
All right, there you go. Over under, excuse me. I may have given away my pick there. Over under 5.5 wins for the Chicago Bears, a team I wanted to take the over on because I love my boy Mike Glennon, but then they had to go and screw everything up and draft Mitchell Trubisky, number 2, give away all those picks, come away with a very poor draft class in terms of helping them immediately on a bad roster. This is one of my best bets. Under Bears. They're not winning 5 games. Get out of here.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, buddy. In the time since the draft, I've had time to process the trade that Ryan Pace swung for Mitchell Trubisky. I have a hot take. I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to be pretty good.
This is the problem. You can't set, like, if I say that the trade was stupid, people can't separate the fact that I like Mitchell Trubisky, who I do like.
No, and I actually read that column that you wrote, and I thought you did a really good job explaining what you meant by that, because you can simultaneously like the prospect, and I think you actually wrote this, so I don't mean to steal your line here, but I mean, it was really good. You can like the prospect, but dislike the process behind the actual trade itself.
I don't think I use prospect and process, but that's much better than whatever I use.
So no, it doesn't. I could have sworn I stole that from
you. No, the process was, no, I mean, the whole point was like, look, If you knew all along you were going to draft Mitchell Trubisky, like you love this guy from day one, you didn't have to throw out an $18.5 million flare to the side with Mike Glennon. You know, you could have just kept Jay Cutler on the roster. Like, you literally could have just kept Jay Cutler for $4 million less.
I don't mind it because Cutler had worn out his welcome. Like, you can't bring Jay Cutler back at this point after what had happened last year. So I didn't necessarily mind that. And look, what is it the smartest thing when you sort of look back on it in retrospect? Probably not. But I can't fault Ryan Pace for investing in that position. So Mike Glennon for this year, let's say, because let's say that, you know, that was the plan all along, was to take Trubisky. If you roll Trubisky out there and you go 2-14, maybe, you know, the McCaskey family says, all right, we're going to give you a mulligan on this year because you started a rookie quarterback with however the 12 or 13 or whatever, maybe less than that, college starts in his career. But maybe they say, you know what? Jeff Fisher only had a couple games with Jared Goff. We're not going to throw him the life preserver. So who the hell knows what would have happened there? So I don't necessarily mind that. I do like Mike Glennon, and I know you like Mike Glennon also. The fact that this number is 5.5, that's a big number for a team that a lot of people expect to be dreadful this year. That makes me think they're going over. I think the Bears go 6-10. I'm going to go over 5.5.
Wow. I'm just going to give you the quick schedule real quick, okay?
All right. Start with week one. Yep.
They open against the Falcons.
Oh, one. Yep,
Falcons at home.
However, you know what? The Bears will cover in that game, and the Bears could win that game.
I'm fine with that. I think they'll keep it close. I think we'll get to the Falcons in a second, but I think that, needless to say, I don't think they're going to have a great year. Falcons at home, at Buccaneers, Steelers at home, at Packers, Vikings at home, at Ravens, Panthers at home, at Saints, Packers at home, Lions at home, at Eagles.
Man, they're going 0-16, huh?
Then on December 3rd, they get the 49ers at home.
Oh, so they'll go 1-15.
And I'll give you this. The Bears have the Browns and the 49ers at home.
I like the Browns this year.
No, I do too, and I like the 49ers a little bit, but that's two. That should be two wins, right?
I don't know how the hell it's going to happen, but they're going to win more than two games. And look, I love me some Foxy, some John Fox. God,
really? I don't care for Foxy.
Oh, but I love that. What are you talking about? Like, he's been to the Super Bowl with two different teams. The guy's a good head coach. They will overachieve this year. Foxy and Pace get another year. Trubisky starts next season. We'll see what happens with Glennon. The 2017 Chicago Bears, 6-10. Not as bad as you thought.
See, here's what you need to understand, and we've spent way too much time on the Bears, but when they start, let's say that they beat the Vikings and beat the Falcons. 1, 2, 3, 4. When they're 2-5, you know who's not going to keep playing?
Mike Glennon.
Right. Like, Trubisky's going to come in and he's going to get slaughtered.
I might be driving the Mitch Trubisky bandwagon.
I'm on there with you, but he hadn't taken a snap under center since sixth grade.
That's
a bit of a red flag.
Yes, it's not exactly a comforting feeling here. I don't know. Look, like I said, when it comes down to it, I'm a gambler, right? And I look at things like this. I see 5.5. The number seems too high, so they're going to go over. So I'll begrudgingly at this point in May, late May as we do this, I'll take the over. But I mean, would I be shocked if the Bears went 2-14? No.
And for what it's worth, the under is -130. Over is even. So it's very possible that line could shift down to 5. If it gets hammered, 4.5. I mean, who knows? Depends on what happens. NFC South, the reigning NFC champion, Atlanta Falcons, first up. You can tell which way Vegas is leaning here. 10 wins is the over under. The under is -135, which means that they think, you think, and I think that they think that you think it's going under.
I'm confused. I'm not sure what you said, but I don't like the Falcons to win the division this year. Mm-mm. And I don't know how many wins it's going to take. This is a damn good division.
Mm-hmm.
And I like all four teams in this division. I like all four of them here. And I'll get to my division winner here in a moment. I'm going to have to go under at a principal year because I don't think you're going to have multiple teams in this division win 11 games. So I'll go under, but I think that they could nestle right in at 10-6 this season. I think the defense is going to be really good. I'm not worried about that defense because I like the reinforcements. A lot of good, young, physical, fast players on that defense. They just wore out at the end of the Super Bowl, but I mean, they were flying all over the place before Brady was on the field for 358 snaps. I do think the offense will take a step back with Steve Sarkisian in as the coordinator, replacing Kyle Shanahan. But I think this is around a 10-win football team. I don't think they're going to go like 7-9 or anything like that. I just don't think they're going to go 11-5 like they did last year.
There's a stretch on this schedule where they go at Patriots, at Jets, at Panthers, versus Cowboys, at Seahawks.
Tough.
That's tough. I think they're going to win 9 games. I think Dan Quinn is a really good coach. The Kyle Shanahan thing has me more worried than anything else.
Agreed.
I think the defense will take a step forward, actually, and people will be surprised by it, but the offense will take a step back. On the count of three, let's say our division winners, because I bet that they're the same team. Ready?
I'll bet you they're not.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Buccaneers. Saints. Oh, all right. They're not the same. Okay.
There you go. I like it.
All right. Interesting. Well, that means that you probably have the Carolina Panthers. I got the Falcons going under, by the way. Carolina Panthers, 9 wins over or under.
I like the Panthers. This is the toughest division in my mind.
I agree. 100%. I think it's the toughest division.
Because you're right. Because you could legitimately make the case for any of the four teams, I think. And I think the one probably with the weakest case is the one that I'm going to try and make right now. It's the New Orleans Saints. I have been clamoring Mr. Brinson for years. Well,
by the way, the Saints is over under 8.5. So take it away.
They're going to win 10 or 11 games. I think so. I'm going to go over here. I think this defense is finally going to be better. And I love the Adrian Peterson signing in connection with the drafting of Alvin Kamara in the second round here. Because I think what you're finally seeing is Sean Payton and Drew Brees saying, let's stop trying to be the team that tries to beat you 41-38 every week. And I think that they've been trending towards wanting to do this for a couple of years, ever since trading Jimmy Graham for Max Unger. And that didn't necessarily work out for the first. They got that first round pick also. But I think that you're finally going to see this Saints team with a better offensive line, a better defense, more threats in the run game, take some pressure off of Drew Brees, run the ball with Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson, and Alvin Kamara. Let Brees make the plays that he needs to make at the end of games. I think the Saints are going to be pretty damn good this year. I think they go 10-6 or 11-5. I like the Saints to win the NFC South. Over.
Three years ago, I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl. They went 7-9. It was based on all of these reasons that you were stating now. Oh, my God. Did you see them drafting for defense?
Well, you signed Jarius Bird.
They got this running game. I'm telling you, this is a transformed Saints team. You're buying fool's gold, my friend. And that's okay. That's okay. Maybe they'll be good. Maybe the Saints defense will finally be good. I think Adrian Peterson will run for 300 yards in the first game against Minnesota. I swear to God, I think he'll run for 200 yards. That's just what he's going to do. Vengeance yards. But that might beat his total for the rest of the year. Their offense will be explosive, but they will not be able to stop any of the teams in that division. And I think the Saints are probably end up, on the bottom of the division. I like the under for the Saints at 8.5. I like the over for the Panthers. And I'm telling you what, the best signing in the entire division, the entire freaking NFL. This offseason, DeSean Jackson paired with Jameis Winston. He's going to improve his downfield throwing, improve his yards per attempt, his accuracy on the deep ball. And then they throw in O.J. Howard to boot. Give me the Buccaneers over at 8.5 as well.
I'm a little nervous about Tampa this year.
Yeah, the bandwagon's a little full.
I know that that people are really excited, as you just referenced, the full bandwagon. As it relates to DeSean Jackson, did the comments from offensive coordinator Todd Monken last week make you a little nervous when he came out and said, listen, we know why DeSean Jackson came to Tampa. It wasn't for the weather. It wasn't to play with Jameis Winston. It was because we paid him the most money. To me, that seemed like a coach being like, hey, I want to make sure we don't have an Albert Haynesworth on our hands here. And an Albert, like a guy that we pay in free agency and he doesn't show up. So that worried me a little bit that like the offensive coordinator had to come out and say that. I love me some Jameis Winston, but I think this you put the Bucs in another division. Maybe we're talking about them as an 11-win team. Not in this division. I don't see it happening. What's their over-under win total?
8.5. By the way, this division has really high. And
yeah, I mean, I could see them winning 9 games. So, I mean, I guess I'll go over because I think they're going to go 9-7. But I don't think that this is a 10-win team.
By the way, this team, I mean, this they get who are they playing here? They get the AFC East and the NFC North.
And a very intriguing week one matchup for Tampa against the Miami Dolphins.
You like the Dolphins this year?
I guess we'll find out in our AFC podcast if I like the Dolphins or not. I mean, Ryan Tannehill stole the quarterback, right? So you can't like him that much.
I like the Bucs' early schedule, though. I don't mind Tannehill. At Miami, Bears at home, at Minnesota, Giants at home. You at least get the Patriots at home. You can see them making some noise. They can come out flat. Let's not forget last year, and then you go back to the schedule thing that we talked about too. Last year, the Buccaneers beat the Falcons in week one in Atlanta, and then got 41 hung on them by the Cardinals in week two. You don't know anything now. You don't know anything in week one. You don't know anything in week eight. You usually don't know anything until about week 15.
True.
It's, you know, like you look at their home stretch. Lions at home, Falcons at home, Panthers on the road, Saints at home. It's not a bad little close, but the Falcons and Saints and Panthers could be dominant by then, and the Bucs could be dogs in the division.
And again, like in this, and the Panthers, the last team, and this sort of like, what a tough division, right? Because I love Carolina's offseason. Like, I'm obsessed with the Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, first and second round draft picks.
I mean, Mike Shula's there.
how can he screw that up?
You can screw up. Like, if you give me the Panthers offense on Madden, I can screw it up if we're playing. You know what I mean?
You're very bad at Madden.
Is right, that I'm terrible.
The time that we played, so I don't know if you're the best barometer for that.
But Mike Shula's like just because you give a bunch of weapons doesn't mean he's not going to run.
Well, I mean, he did coordinate a team, that offense that went 15-1 and had the league MVP a couple years ago.
Yeah, but it was like, and we'll get to the Titans later too, but it's sort of similar to the Titans. They had this very exotic sort of running game. And Cam Newton was playing fantastic, but it's not, I don't know. I think they'll be very good. I like the Panthers a lot, but I do think people are sort of underrating the fact that, first of all, the Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess picks look like garbage right now, and they had to go the opposite direction.
Kelvin Benjamin, at this point, looks like he ate Eddie Lacy.
He's like a snake, you know? You can see that big bulge where the snake eats the animal. And there's like an Eddie Lacy in his like midsection. That'd actually be a funny Photoshop.
Like it's not good. Not good. And also, what is the question if Matt Khalil is the answer?
Well, how can you waste $55 million? I think
like Matt Khalil sucks.
Yeah. He was good his rookie year. He's playing on an offensive line that has good guards and his brother. I think there's a world where, so two things have to happen, right? Cause this defense is going to be outstanding, I think. The defensive line is loaded.
Yeah. Did that help them when Julio torched him for 300 last year?
No, but I mean, look, the defensive line wasn't playing well then. The defensive line is loaded. Linebackers are loaded. Cornerbacks are getting a little bit better, the younger guys they brought in. The offense, if Matt Khalil can be a league average tackle, and that's not insane. If he can be a league average tackle,
I'm with you.
And Mike Shula cannot mess up Christian McCaffrey, then this team should win 10 games.
You just threw out like four ifs. Like if they're going to win 10 games.
Two things. Matt Khalil, Mike Shula.
That was it? That you didn't have anything else? And if the cornerback step up?
No, I think the defense will be good. I think the defense will be top 10.
I'm going to go under here, but again, the caveat with all four of these teams is that I wouldn't be shocked if any of the four
games. You could have all four teams finish between 7 wins and 10 wins and have, you know what I mean? Like the Falcons could win 12 games, you know?
I'm going to give you Saints, Falcons, Bucks, Panthers. Panthers finishing last. Wow. Ronnie Rivera gets fired.
I got Bucks, Panthers, Falcons, Saints.
Wow. Saints at last.
Finally, the NFC West. Seattle Seahawks, the highest over-under in the NFC. 10.5 wins. So even juice. People just kind of assume the Seahawks will be very good, which is kind of a fair assumption. You know, I don't really like what they did with the offensive line.
Well, they didn't do anything with the
offensive line. That's kind of what I mean. Yeah. They didn't. Russell Wilson got his face banged in last year, running all over the place, trying to save his life. They signed Eddie Lacy. They signed Luke Jokel. It's like, oh, you know, these are big names. This could work. Well, they might not work out, okay?
I would rather have Cletus the slack-jawed Jokel from The Simpsons than Luke Jokel as an offensive tackle on my football team. Like, the guy is not – it's really incredible because simultaneously, you can say these two things and they're true. John Schneider is a great GM. John Schneider has done a pitiful job addressing the offensive line. Both of those things can be true and are true. I'm going to go slightly under here. I think the Seahawks will win. Like, they should be the class of the division. I think they'll win 10 games. But I do think that there's a difference between 10 and 11 wins and before, like, the asses come to me and they're like, yeah, obviously there's a difference. It's a one-win difference. Like, there's a 11-5 is different to me than 10-6. Like, a 10-6 team could have easily gone 9-7. An 11-5 team at worst can maybe go 10-6. So I think that there is a divide between teams that win 10 and below than there is between teams that win 11 and above.
Absolutely.
I think the Seahawks are more in that 10 category than they are in the 11 plus category.
Yeah, if you win 5 or less, you're in the dregs. If you win 6 to 10, there's a huge mishmash of teams that could win 6 or win 10 and things just break their way. And then 11 to 16,
like, you're good.
You're an elite team. And I don't think the Seahawks are necessarily an elite team. Look, that defense,
that offensive line, man, and like that defense is going to be good, but like they're getting older, man. Like, Earl Thomas is coming
Richard,
off that.
This whole Richard Sherman offseason is kind of being undersold, yeah. Undersold a little bit.
I think the Seahawks are going to go under.
Looking at their schedule, they have three of their first five games are on the road, but they're at the Packers, home against the Niners, at the Titans, home against the Colts, and at the Rams, and then at the Giants. They have a week six bye. So they have a bye before they go to the Giants. That's pretty helpful for them. You think they'll probably beat the 49ers, beat the Rams, and beat the Colts, right? They'll be favored in those games at the very least. So if they go three and if they win four games before that bye, they're going to hit the 11 because this division plays the AFC South this year.
I think the AFC South will be sneaky good this year.
Things we say every year. That's fine. I'm with you, but you get the AFC South and the NFC East.
Not easy.
It's a better draw. It's not a terrible draw.
NFC East is tough.
NFC East is tough, but I mean, like AFC South. I mean, what division is easy in the NFC?
I think the North is probably the West and the North are the two weakest divisions.
Yeah, but if you are the West, you have to play the South, the East, or
the North. Correct.
Right. So it's tough. I lean under here, but I could see them winning 11 games. It wouldn't surprise me, but I think 10 is the safer bet. Arizona Cardinals, 8 games over. Put it on the books. My best bet here of the year. I love the Cardinals in the over. My best bet in the entire NFC East or the NFC.
Who's Arizona's backup quarterback?
Blaine Gabbert. But it's Drew Stanton. It's Drew Stanton.
It's Blaine or Stanton, right?
Right.
Okay. I think that the only reason, this is my opinion here, mm-hmm. I think that Carson Palmer's coming back because he's getting paid a lot of money. I don't know that Carson Palmer's going to go out there and set the world on fire this season. I don't expect that to happen. I don't like this Cardinals team that much. I'm going to go under the 8 wins. I think this is a below 500 football team.
Wow. I like the Cardinals to bounce back. I think they got some of that.
It didn't sound as good coming out of my mouth as it did in my head. I don't know how I feel about it after saying it out loud.
If Carson Palmer gets hurt or has a terrible year, this team will stink.
I don't think he's that good.
I think that he played better down the stretch last year. Fitzgerald is going to be really motivated. He's been over 100 catches the last 2 years. I'm a little worried about the weapons, but I think that John Brown should be much better. J.J. Nelson's a speedster. David Johnson, if David Johnson's healthy and plays 16 games, he's going to put up an MVP caliber season. And I thought they did a really good job in the draft and free agency in terms of, like, they could have hemorrhaged on that defense. They bring in Hassan Reddick, Buda Baker. These are guys that are kind of working this seamless, sort of positionless defense. Chandler Jones is coming back. I think they'll be a 9-win team and maybe steal that division from the Seahawks.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going under on the Arizona Cardinals.
We're surprisingly different on a lot of these things. Los Angeles Rams, 5.5. Sportsline.com has the Rams getting the number one pick this year.
Well, I don't like to hear that because I have a lot of respect for our compatriots over at Sportsline. I think the Rams are going to go over. I think the Rams will win 7 games this year. I like Sean McVay. I love Wade Phillips, and you know me well enough, Will, to know that I love Jared Goff. And I think that Jared Goff is going to have a good season. I think the Rams are going to beat the Colts in week one and set the stage for a better season than most anticipate. I like the Rams quite a bit. I don't think the Rams are going to win 10 games. I can see the Rams going 8-8, maybe 7-9, but they're going to go over the posted win total.
Just so you know, the Rams have won in week one the last 2 years, I believe, right? Or is that the 49ers who have done that?
The Rams
lost in the 49ers this year in week
28-0 last year.
Yeah, God. How did Jeff Fisher not get fired immediately? Schedule's not bad. At Colts.
Well, not only did they not fire him immediately, they extended him first before they fired him.
That's right. Announced the extension, like, all right, how can we stop this bleeding? The schedule down the stretch is really difficult. I think they have a week 8 bye. I liked the Andrew Whitworth signing a lot. I was starting to get the mojo going on the Rams because I think Wade Phillips and Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders pointed this out, but they've done his defense has usually take a step in year one. And people are like, oh, well, how is Aaron Donald going to fit in that defense? Wade Phillips will figure out Aaron Donald, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, Aaron Donald can fit in any defense because right. he's freaking amazing.
He's going to, I mean, like, he's going to play as a 4-3 end and wreck havoc, right? And
yes.
Robert Quinn is a 3-4 end. Robert Quinn as a 3-4 outside linebacker, if he stays healthy, could be a defensive player of the year, sneaky candidate, a sleeper.
You got to remember, the quarterback also is Jared Goff. I'm a huge Jared Goff fan.
My biggest problem, Nick, is that they have $80 million invested in Tavon Austin and Robert Woods.
The Robert Woods one, you understand a little bit because they actually need someone who can catch the ball. And I actually think Robert Woods will be a sneaky PPR option this year in fantasy, mostly because who the hell else is Jared Goff going to throw to? The Tavon Austin contract is obviously an abomination and an albatross slung around their collective neck, the salary cap.
An albatross choking an albatross slung around the neck. I like Cooper Kupp. I like what LA's got going in terms of the long-term direction, but I think they need one more year before it's there. I'm taking the under here also because I think another crappy team in that division might be the real frisky team.
Not a chance.
4.5 over under wins
under
for the 49ers. Under for the 49ers.
Under.
I like the over. The defense.
I think they're going to be the worst team in football this year.
Oh, see, I don't. The defense is going to be better than people think.
Are you okay? Let's have some fun here.
All right.
What's the quarterback room in San Francisco?
Brian Hoyer, baby.
And?
I don't even know who else is on the roster.
Do you know who their backup is?
Is it Blaine?
No, Gabbert's gone.
Gabernick?
So John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said, you know what quarterback room really impressed us last year?
Oh, Barkley.
Chicago Bears. So you know what we're going to do? We're not going to sign Jay Cutler. He was the most talented of the three. We're going to let him go and sign a contract at a competing network here. Tony Romo is our guy, obviously. Team CBS. Jay Cutler, not our guy. You know what? Lee Partner, National Football League. Jay Cutler on Fox. Do a great job, buddy. But, Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley, like, you think that quarterback combination is going to lead you to 5 wins this year with that terrible roster?
I kind of do. Like, I think their offensive line is okay-ish. They have the offense stinks, okay? The offense stinks. But Kyle Shanahan can drag 18 points a game out of these guys, right?
No.
12 points a game?
No. I mean, 12. I mean, but like, how are they going to score? Like, I'm legit like, I like the Pierre Garçon signing. I think that's a decent signing. I think that he'll be better in fantasy.
Kyle Juszczyk!
Here.
They signed a fullback. They paid a fullback a ton of money.
Kyle Juszczyk signing. That'll get the job done. This team's going to be really bad. I think that they clearly have an eye on the quarterbacks at the top of next year's draft. Otherwise, maybe John Lynch would have been more inclined to stay at number 2 and take Mitchell Trubisky as opposed to adding Solomon Thomas and trading back to 3. I think for this team, it's all about next season for the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to be the worst team in football this year. Give me the Browns over the Niners. Give me the Bears over the Niners. You know what? I take that back. The Jets will probably be worse. Niners will be the worst team in the NFC. San Francisco is going to win 2 or 3 games. They're going to go under.
All right. I like the over. We're on the opposite sides here. These crappy NFC West teams. But it is May and it's early. And we need to get to our buddy Dalvin Cook, who we talked to. We'll come back probably next week and we'll do the AFC over-unders. And Nick, as always, it's a pleasure. Subscribe via iTunes, rate, review, et cetera, et cetera. Now let's go chat with Dalvin Cook. But before we do that, let me remind you and actually give you a great deal. Here's what you do. Go to blueapron.com/roughing. You can change your life. Get 3 free meals with free shipping. Change the way you cook. Blue Apron is affordable, has variety. It's flexible. It's easy. It's guaranteed. It's food delivered to your house that you cook with your family. You will love your spouse, your significant other, your children. You will love them all more if you order Blue Apron. Upcoming meals coming up. Beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar, snap peas, and lime rice. Baked spinach and egg flatbread with sauteed asparagus and lemon aioli. Goodness, that sounds delicious. 3 cheese and baby broccoli stromboli with tomato and oregano dipping sauces. Those strombolis And the flatbreads that Blue Apron uses, whatever they put in the bread, it's incredible. And then crispy salmon and roasted potato salad with pickled mustard seeds and creme fraiche sauce. They do an excellent job incorporating creme fraiche, and their salmon is some of the best you will ever have. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/roughing. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Dalvin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Can't complain too much. Doing a little yard work, enjoying a nice North Carolina day here. First of all, you know, congrats on getting drafted, and how was rookie minicamp for you?
It was actually great. You know, got a chance to mingle with some of the rookies that we brought in, some of the undrafted free agents, and just got a chance to be around some of the coaches. So it was good.
Did how much installation do you guys do in that situation? I mean, you know, as a rookie, you're getting your feet wet. You got a million things being thrown at you. You're worrying about the rookie premiere. You got, you know, adjusting to life in a new city. How much actual installation was being done for you guys?
It was actually a lot, but you know, the coaches did a great job of, you know, keeping things not as complex. You know, so you know, it was actually a lot, but you know, once we got back, we got rolling on everything what the vet was doing.
What did you think about the actual state of Minnesota in Eden Prairie? It's not exactly Florida, right?
No, it's definitely not. But, you know, it's you know, I consider it kind of similar to Tallahassee a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, the city-wise. I haven't got a chance, you know, to actually get out and, you know, see everything. But, you know, just far as, you know, the vibe and everything, you know, it's kind of close to Tallahassee, you know, a little bit.
Well, what's the strangest, like, non-Southern Florida thing you've seen since you got up to Minnesota?
I haven't seen nothing strange, really. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just know it's the city known for fishing a lot. You know, I love fishing, love being outdoors. So, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, having a lot of great experience out there on the water.
Oh, you a big fishing guy? You like deep sea? You just like some casual pond, a little ice fishing maybe?
They just were telling me about it. That's something I'm going to have to get used to. But, you know, I just like fishing, period. You know, ease your mind, you know, get a break from everything.
Yeah, no. It's a good, you know, actually there's a good, some lessons as a running back can be taught because of fishing, because you got to be so patient when you fish, right? Like you have to learn how to read your blocks and be patient and not to get too caught up, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely.
Is it difficult knowing that you're following in the footsteps of an all-time running back in Adrian Peterson?
You know, I've been asked this question. You know, it's been the number one question. But, you know, I approach the situation is, you know, you can't never replace a guy like Adrian Peterson. You know, he's going to go down in the Hall of Fame. You know, and in my eyes, one of the greatest backs I ever watched. So, you know, the only thing you can come in and do is just be yourself. I'm going to be the best diver I could be the best player I could be for the team and help them win games. And, you know, and, you know, accolades add up for itself, you know, once we win ball games and, you know, hopefully, you know, go to the big dance and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's weird, too, though, because, I mean, if AP's been, you know, he was drafted in 07, so he's drafted 10 years before you were. I mean, you grew up watching that guy, right? Like, he was probably he was in his prime when you were in football watching, you know, I mean, wasn't he a guy that you probably idolized?
Yeah, it definitely was, you know, when you grow up watching a player. And now you go to the team that he's at, you know, it's an experience, man, that you just got to embrace. You know, you can't go in and say, you know, I'm a Phillies guy shoot, because, you know, this guy did so many things and you know, just on the field and off the field that you just can't go in and just say, I'm going to replace this guy. You know, you just got to go in and push yourself and just set up, you know, hop by for yourself and just work hard.
Did you think about taking the number 28? I think you took 33, right? I know you were 4 in college, but 28 was available.
No, I didn't even want to do it. No, that never caught my mind right there.
That's probably smart. Have you got any indications? You know, you got Latavius Murray there and Jerick McKinnon. Any indications that you could be the starter going into the season, or is that something that's too far down the road?
Yeah, it's too far down the road. You know, right now, you know, I'm just coming in and learning from those guys. But, you know, all those guys got experience on me and got experience on the league, and I'm a guy that I always want to learn. You know, my ears are always open. And, you know, those guys, they know what the lead is and what the lead brings. So, you know, I'm just going in and, you know, just working behind those guys and just learning from what those guys know. So, you know, they're great guys and they're helping me learn. So, you know, I'm accepting everything.
Is Pat Shurmur going to put in, any plays from the Florida State sort of playbook. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some similar stuff in there, but, you know, they tend to run Sam Bradford out of the shotgun a lot. I don't know if they'll put in some of that, you know, sort of the stretch plays that you were so dominant with. I'm watching the ACC a lot, but, you know, you wait patient around the corner and then and make that cut. Is he going to integrate some of that stuff into the playbook?
Oh, that's already in. That's the system we run.
So the system's similar then?
Yeah, the system is definitely similar. Just the lingo and everything is just a little different. But, you know, coming in, we run outside zone, inside zone. You know, we get the ball to the backside of the backfield. Just like at Florida State, man. It's all about, you know, just going in and, you know, just getting that rhythm and timing with your O-lineman and quarterback.
Do you think that you will be used heavily as a receiver in your rookie year? I think 80 catches over the course of your 3 years at Florida State. Do you think you'll get more catches, more receiving action than you did in college?
You know, once I start playing, I think, you know, I catch the ball a lot out the backfield, and, you know, just to get the ball in my hand. I consider myself, you know, as a playmaker. So, you know, I just think, you know, I catch the ball out the backfield a lot.
Like
Jared did. Jared did the same thing.
Yeah. How motivated are you by falling to the second round? I had you going to Tampa Bay in my mock draft in the first round. I thought you were a lock for there. Things fell differently. I think the Trubisky stuff at the top shifted everything and caused sort of a domino effect. Are you motivated by falling out of the first round?
No, I wouldn't say motivated. You know, whatever organization I went to, you know, I would have been, you know, motivated to play anyway, because, you know, it's football at the end of the day. You know, I'm there to win ball games. That's why the team drafted me. And, you know, just, you know, I'm in a great fit right now. And, you know, I love putting on that purple and going out there and competing. So, you know, I'm motivated by my situation, you know, for back home and, you know, helping my parents and doing stuff like that. So, you know, that's what I'm motivated by.
No, that's cool. And, you know, do you consider yourself the best running back in this rookie class?
You know, and like I say, you know, we all, you know, we done got drafted, draft over with now, so we all just got to go out there and prove ourselves, so, you know. So that's how I'm going to put it.
Say you're smart. You got the media answer down pat. You don't give me a free headline for that. Did I read that you recently, were you expecting a kid, or did I read that right?
Yeah, you read that right. You know,
are you a dad now? Everything cool? Did it go?
No, not yet.
Okay. Cool. Well, all right, cool. Tell us about what you're working with Panini then, and what you got going on there.
We just here. We signing stuff for Panini. You know, I got my first shirt card.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a great experience. You know, it's something that I always dreamed of. So I'm embracing it all. So I've been here signing all day, but, you know, as you look at it, you know, this is something that you always wanted. You got to take advantage of it.
That's cool, man. Yeah, you can't get too worried about signing your signature. If people want your autograph, you can sign that all day. That's a good feeling, right?
All day. Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, well, look, I appreciate you taking the time. Get your hands some rest. Good luck. Good luck going forward. Can't wait to see how you do this season, and looking forward to seeing you play for the Vikings.
I appreciate it so much.